It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and I'm so glad you joined me for the program today. We are continuing our study on the book of Philippians. I hope you get out your pen and paper and take some notes today and learn with us together. We left off with Philippians 3:17 yesterday, and that's where Paul said, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." I wonder at times, can we say that, friend? Will we feel comfortable telling somebody, "Hey, man, you want to get to heaven? Do what I do." We should be able to. It's what Paul told us. He's saying here, pursue the pattern of following good examples. You want to see growth and spiritual maturity in your life? Watch who you're spending time with, because we tend to become like those with whom we spend our time. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, Paul said this. He said, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia." See, he says, you became imitators of us, and then you became an example for the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The power of living a godly life and being a good example. I'm sure the Philippians must have thought, "I could never live up to the example of Jesus, or even the example of the great Apostle Paul." So last week we saw in Philippians where Paul gave them the example of Timothy. And Timothy was his spiritual son, and he gave them the example of Epaphroditus. And he told them, be like these guys. You know, they serve the Lord with all their heart for good motives. In verse 18, he went on and said, "For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross." You see, friend, I want to let you know today that you can really be disappointed when you get your eyes on people. When you get your eyes on other people and not on Christ, they can let you down. And Paul called some of them even enemies of the cross. He goes on in verse 19 and says, "Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." Now, I don't think Paul's talking here just about people that are overeating. I think he's talking here about unsaved people who are trying to fill their spiritual void in so many ways, whether it's food or whether it's sexual perversion or whatever it is. He's telling us here that their mind is on earthly things. God wants you and I to live life with an eternal perspective. In verse 19 out of the Message, and I love the Message, it's a paraphrase by Peterson, and he did such a great job on it. He says this, "But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise, and all they can think of is their appetites." That's really a great way to put it by Peterson in the Message. But Paul said, he goes on in verse 20, and he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." It's so easy for us to get our eyes on this earth down here, where we're living, where we're paying the daily bills, where we're dealing with so many pressures and things here in this earth that we forget we're citizens of heaven. God wants us to look upward towards Him. You know, the outlook depends on your uplook. We are here on this earth as ambassadors representing our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in John 14, Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then he went on to say that great line, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself." I love that, friend. We need to get our eyes off this world and recognize that we're citizens of heaven. We're in the world, but not of the world. And Paul said, we eagerly await a Savior. from heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 21. Who by the power that enables him, speaking of Jesus, to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The older I get, the more I realize my body is fading. One day, this earthly temple is going to put on new clothes. We're going to be in God's presence, and we're going to be like him. And now today, let's pick up with chapter 4, the final chapter of the book of Philippians. It's one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. Paul begins with the word therefore again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. See, Paul's writing to a church that is going through some problems. There's a conflict going on in the church, and he's trying to tell them how to solve this and how to resolve it and how we should live and how our lives should glorify God. He says this, I long to see you, my joy and my crown, in this same way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Now look what he says in verse 2. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Now he's writing about these two sisters in the church, and apparently they've had some kind of a disagreement, and Paul is telling them to try and work this out, to try and come together and be united in Christ. It seems that Euodia and Syntyche had worked with Paul. When you read in Acts chapter 16, they began a women's prayer meeting, and it's quite possible they were a part of the original group here with this church. The one thing we know, though, is that these ladies had a falling out, and they were going through some problems big time, and so Paul felt it was important enough to address it in this letter, open letter to the church that was going to be read. Can you imagine how they must have felt sitting there, maybe on the second row, and the pastor gets up and he's reading this, and here's a letter from the Apostle Paul today, and he gets to the fourth chapter, and he says, therefore, my brothers, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Must have been embarrassing. He said, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement, also in the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And then Paul's going to say one of the great verses found in the New Testament. That's Philippians 4:4. Great verse. This is what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. See, friend, sometimes you say, Keith, there's times when I just don't have anything to rejoice about. You do. You can rejoice, the Bible says, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's enough to rejoice about. But Paul didn't say rejoice in your circumstances. He didn't say rejoice in your financial status. Not even rejoice in your church. He said rejoice in the Lord. Because when you realize the salvation that we've all attained through Jesus Christ, that's really something to be happy about. And he says in verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. That's powerful. When people see us, they should see that we have a gentle spirit. In other words, we're not harsh with people because we disagree with them, but instead we are gentle with them in the spirit. What a great verse for us to read on election day, to be gentle in spirit, and we can disagree agreeably. He goes on and says, the Lord is near. Maybe that's the excuse that Paul's giving them to watch their behavior, because God is near. He's there. He's the unseen guest in every crowd. The Lord is near. And then he says in verse 6, I love this verse, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I did a whole episode of Fresh Oil a while back just on this one verse. Be anxious for nothing. You know, anxiety is very real. Maybe you are listening today and you deal with anxiety in a big time way. Friend, I want you to know, anxiety is from the devil. He brings it to try and just render you powerless and make you so distracted by everything that's going on that you can't focus on God and you can't focus on your purpose and your destiny. He says, be anxious for nothing. That means there's not one thing in this life that needs to consume us and drive us, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, friend, when we have an active prayer life, when we talk to God on a daily basis, we let Him know all the things we need. We let Him know what we're going through, and we share our struggles with Him. He asks us to do that. And He said this in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is such a powerful verse. It gives a very stunning picture of just as Roman soldiers were guarding the Apostle Paul as he's in prison, and they're making sure that he doesn't escape from there. God puts guards around your mind and they're peace guards. In other words, when we trust in God and we give our requests to Him, His peace will surround us, and it'll guard our hearts and our minds. That's where the battle's really fought, friend. It's a battle of the mind. God knew that. He says, finally, brothers, oh, this is such a great verse. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if anything is excellent and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I call this the Philippians 1:8 test. Whenever a thought comes in your mind, put it through the Philippians 1:8 test to decide whether you should continue to think on that or whether you should cast down those imaginations. What's the test? First of all, you say, is it true? And then it may be true, but it's not honorable. He says, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything excellent, and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Friend, when the enemy brings a thought to your mind, and you know how sometimes those thoughts just come and they're just like holding on to you, and you're like, man, I can't stand this thought. It won't go away. What you do is you give it to God. If it's not pure, lovely, a good repute, excellent, or praiseworthy, don't dwell on it. You know, you say, well, Pastor Keith, I can't stop it from coming into my mind. Well, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from making a nest in your hair. And that's what Paul's telling us to do here. Don't dwell on it. Let those thoughts go. The things you've learned, he says in verse 9, and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul gives us the anecdote here for peace. If you want to have peace in your life and peace in your mind, you got to think on good thoughts. God wants you and I to meditate upon His Word day and night, and then let those good thoughts fill your heart. And it will cause you to have peace in your life. I'm a real fanatic on the sovereignty of God and divine providence. I believe it's no accident you're listening to this program today. I believe God brought us together for such a time as this. And my friend, I want you to know today, you can choose good thoughts. You can fill your mind with what God says about the situation. If you're struggling today, go to God's Word and dig into His Word and replace those bad thoughts, those negative thoughts, those things that are not praiseworthy. Replace them with something from God's Word, and you'll begin to see the difference in your life, because you'll begin to see peace, God's peace, that will fill your hearts. I so appreciate you joining me today for Fresh Oil. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. Go by my new website. It's really easy to remember, weneedgod.com, and drop me an email.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.